okay? Real quick. All right.
You got the mic.
I have, thank you.
So do I.
Hi there. That's on behalf of the board and the church, the congregation, we would like to present you with just a token of our appreciation for the wonderful work that you've done and continue to do. And I would like to pray for you both, if that's just for one moment.
It's not allowed.
No. Heavenly Father, Lord, I bring our pastor, Lord, our teaching elder and our shepherd to you and his wife, Lord. I'm just so grateful for the work that they have done in our congregation, Lord, and how meaningful they are to each and every member of this congregation. I also ask for blessings on them, protection, Lord Jesus, for them and their family, Lord. And we just want, I hope this small token is just gives them an idea of just how much we do really appreciate the work they do behind the scenes, not just here in the pulpit. We thank you. I ask you to bless the word that we're going to hear today, Lord God, in your gracious and wonderful name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Lynn's very excited because it's an envelope, which means it's not a Jell-O package. Cheryl will testify to this. Lynn can make a chocolate bar last longer than anybody I've ever seen in my life. That's what I want to say. She knew where Mom hid them all the time. Because in Africa, you just couldn't go to the corner store and get a chocolate bar. It was a special treat. It's the only person in the world I know that can make a four-finger Kit Kat last for 4 days unless Kimmy and Cheryl found them. And freezer door. We're just going to launch into a brief series on renewal. Is my mic on? Yeah. I had the green light. I pulled that out of my pocket last week, and I had the yellow standby light, and I that just. But we're good. Tim just gave me the thumbs up. So this is going to be the first in a short series on being renewed daily. Walking in renewal. Last week we concluded a short series on praise. We looked at Philippians 4:1-9. Praise is a release of the Holy Spirit joy. There really is. It took me a long time to really realize that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is contingent upon circumstances and events that are happening. Tim was probably very happy yesterday when the Riders managed to salvage the game. I know a couple of people at work. We had the radio on and we were listening to it in between the busyness that we were doing, and one person was quite excited about it, and one of the other people had no idea what was going on, but she's from Mexico, so we got to give her a time to phase in, you know. There's a difference between joy and happiness. You know, the first couple of days you got a new car, you're happy, you know. And then you get that first chip on the windshield and the first ding on the door, and you're thinking to yourself, I still owe $13,000 on this thing, and it's not new anymore. Beloved, it's okay to be unhappy. You know, falling down the stairs shouldn't make you happy. You know. But joy is a product of the Holy Spirit. And I did a study one time on joy, and one of the intriguing things, of course, is in Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy and grace are connected words in the original language. I like going to the original language and looking at things periodically because every word is given by inspiration of God. But that's in the original. A lot of things get lost when we move it into the English or into any other language. For quite a while, I was confused with the conversation after the resurrection of Jesus on the beach and his dialogue with Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Third time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And there's a tone there of sadness on Peter's part. We don't get it in the English. But when you go to the original language, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I filio you. And he asks him a second time, Peter, do you agape me? He says, Lord, you know I filio you. The third time, Jesus says, Peter, do you filio me? Yes, Lord, I filio. God will meet you where you're at. Agape is the love of God. Filio is like philharmonic, Philadelphia, same roots. It is to have a sense of harmony or agreement. But it's not that unconditional love of agape. God met Peter where he was. But Peter had to realize he wasn't where the Lord wanted him to be. And that kind of launches us into the idea of we need a continual process of being renewed in our inner man. I want to read, I was reading from Jeremiah this morning, and I just, it was one of those divine moment type things. It kind of tied in with where we are in our message. I think I got the wrong reference on the notes here. Yeah, I managed not. In your notes, would you change John 15, 12 to 21? Would you change that? That should be 2 Corinthians chapter 14. What I do is I bring the previous message forward and I edit, and I failed to edit the text. It was kind of a weird week last week, and I didn't catch it in the proofing either. Okay, so first I want to look at read a portion of Jeremiah. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. You don't need my opinion. You need the Word of God. My primary task as a teaching elder or shepherd is to bring the Word of God. My opinion will come and go. But the Word of God lasts forever. Amen? And to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. I happen to be reading Jeremiah this morning. The Word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. let me try reading it in English. The Word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. It reads a little differently in the ESV because they follow the structure of the Hebrew sentence. Arise and go to the potter's house, and there I'll let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. That's significant. The potter was at work, but it became spoiled. It wasn't the work of the potter that spoiled it. Okay? And he reworked it into another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter has done, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck it up and break it down and destroy it, and if a nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of that disaster that I intended to do. Repentance is key. The first message that Jesus ever preached in Matthew 4 is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I intend it to do. Notice, Israel was destroying the intent of God because they weren't walking in the ways and the purposes of God. We need continually to be renewed. It has to be a work of God that's happening on a daily basis. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You've corrected the notes. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But if we have renounced this disgraceful, underhanded ways, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in sight of God. It is critical that, especially from the desk, from the, you know, in the Hebrew language, pulpit was not the desk. The first use of that is in Nehemiah. They built a pulpit for Ezra to stand on to speak the word. So he'd be elevated above the people. The people could see him and his voice could be projected. It was the platform. It wasn't the desk. But when we're speaking the word of God to a people, we need to be speaking his word, his will and his purposes, not our own. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of the world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Christ, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out from the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And how I appreciate Eleanor's note that she added at the end of the message, which talks about bringing light into us. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. How that ties in with the potter's house in Jeremiah. God is working us, shaping us, molding us, making us, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. I think it was actually Sylvia in her prayer that talked about the power of God at work. It's not about us. It's about God working through us. We're only a vessel. We're an earthen vessel. I think the old King James says we have this treasure in earthen jars. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. If you ever feel down, read this. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might also be manifested in our bodies. There's a work in you that is by the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to a world that's perishing. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Things are happening in your life, but your life will come, in the natural, will come to an end, but the purpose of your life is to transmit life to others. You have a purpose. Your life is a witness. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. But since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, that it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. He describes some things here that weren't making him happy, but the joy of the Lord was still there. He says, we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. It is to be a day-by-day thing. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I found one statement, our cross is borne for a moment, but our crown is forever. The interesting thing is when you go to the book of Revelation and they behold the majesty of God, they take off their crowns and they cast them at his feet. In the light of his presence, we don't hold on to any merit that we may have achieved. We give it back. Of inward renewal, the case in view is that of a regenerate man. It is assumed that spiritual life has been received. I want to look at four concepts here. First, the fact of new birth. Faith receives God's mercy. Feeding contributes to renewal. And function exposes personal need. And I was struggling with an illustration with bringing this out just in natural terms for understanding. My wife may reprove me for this later. I don't know. Better to ask forgiveness than permission. Not better, but it's easier at times. Lynn decided that she would make a couple of cakes for the event after our time of fellowship, and then we get around the table. The first cake didn't come out quite the way she wanted it to. And when you look at them, there is a visible difference. She went and got a new pan. She went and bought a new pan. And the second cake came out full and fluffy and beautiful. The old pan just didn't facilitate the cake. I don't know why it didn't rise the same. But there's a time in our lives that we feel drained out. You ever been there? Drained out, worn out, sacked out, you know? Yeah. Just saying that reminds me of that one comedian joined the gym. They want him to do sit-ups. He says, I don't do ups. I don't sit ups, I don't pull ups, I don't push ups, I do downs. You know, lay down, sit down, chow down. You know, there's times we're worn out. And we're like an old pan. We're not doing what we're designed to do. Basically, because we've been doing it so often that there's a wearing that's taken place. You know, when we got home with Lynn's vehicle from Schlamps, when we went to put the tires away, we were quite shocked because there were four empty bags. So we phoned Schlamps and we went back to get the tires, and I go in with the four bags and I look at the tires, and she could have maybe got another month out of them. But I understood why they weren't put in the bag, but they should have explained it. They were badly worn. My dad never liked retreaded tires. He saw them detach. And more than one person ended up in a ditch or worse. There's some things you cannot renew. There are some things you just need to replace. God says, you're an earthen vessel. You're a vessel of clay. Lord, make me your sanctuary. God doesn't inhabit buildings made with human hands. He inhabits you and I. But like many clay vessels, earthen vessels, they get little cracks and they leak out. Truth of the matter is we're supposed to leak. The light that's in us needs to come out. But that means we need to have refillings, renewals. The one commentator said it presumes what is being said here by Paul is being said to those who have been born again, to those who have spiritual life. That takes us to the first major point, the fact of the new birth. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Whether you realize it or not, whether you function in it all the time or not, the reality is if you have truly given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born again. You have the Spirit of the living God and the resurrected Christ living in you. Now, that's staggering, you know. It's a reality. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:3, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You have been infused with new life through Jesus Christ. I remember listening to, I was at the Autumn Leaders Conference in Van Nuys, California with Dr. Jack Hayford, and one of the speakers, and I forget the name of the lady, but she was talking about every believer has the seed of the living God in them. We've been born again. And she's in a way, it's like you're pregnant. And what's Christ in you needs to grow and be visible and be seen out. We've been born, I think it's in Peter, he says, you've been born again of incorruptible, imperishable seed. There's a growth that needs to take place. But, you know, it's the grind that gets us. We get worn down. It's like those four tires. Like I was shocked. When you looked at the outside rib, they looked like they're in good shape. You know? But unless I got down on my hands and knees, which I'm not very good at doing, I can get, you know, you get to a certain point going down, you keep going down because gravity. But coming up is a different story. When I'm at the store, thank the Lord for shelves. Sometimes I'm singing as I go up the shelves. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. And I saw the wear in the tires, and I was horrified that I hadn't noticed earlier, and I was letting my wife put on miles and miles as she works on these tires. They went to Regina on Thursday. And Lynn and Cheryl said, "Oh, we didn't slip or slide or anything." And I'm how? You know, you were talking about you went too, and you said, you know, if it had been the roads had been like McLean here, you wouldn't have gone. And I mean, again, oh Lord, God apparently protects the foolish, because I had not paid proper attention to his time. But when you looked at the edge, they looked fine. But the inside of the tire, the where the inside tread was supposed to be. Honest to goodness, they look like road slicks. I mean, there wasn't a tread. We weren't seeing cord yet. But it was slick. You know? So I said to Darren, order 4 new tires. He says, "We'll do it in the spring when the sales are on." I said, "Save me money. Good idea. Do it." But we got the winters on. It's the grind that gets us. Most of us don't have a major fall. We don't have major blowouts. But after a period of time, the grind gets to you. Now we're doing Hebrews 2. It's written somewhere. You know, do not grow weary in well-doing. The grind will get you if you're not being renewed. We need to be renewed on a regular basis. Titus 3:5-6. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. Notice Peter and Titus, the emphasis on mercy. It is the mercy of God, the love of God, that extends the power of God to you through through the resurrected power of Christ in you. That's grace, for by grace you've been saved. How are you saved? Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and at your confession, Christ moves in. That's what saves you. You know, he saved us not because of works done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Galatians 6:15. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says, of the Jew and the Gentile, he's made one new man. You know, we look at multiple nations and we look at multiple languages and skin tones, but to God there's only three. You're either a Jew or a Gentile, or you're born again, child of God. You know? Which are you? And if you're a born again child of God, you have that treasure in a clay vessel. But it's seeping out. There's times we need to be poured out. You know? Like when I'm through up here, I'm tired. You know? Dixon wrote a book, Running Up and Down the Stairs, saying that if you're called to minister the Word of God, you need to get into it and let that Word fill you, that when it's time for you to speak, you're running up the steps. I was ready to run on Thursday. Then enough said. When you pour your heart and soul into something, whether it's from a platform or whether it's to a neighbor over tea and you're talking about spiritual things, when there's a pouring out, it's physically tiring and there needs to be a refreshing and renewing. Faith receives that mercy. Faith receives God's mercy. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. That's a key thought, unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There's a world out there that's being blinded, and we need to be light. You know, God forbid I become a train that blinds them, but a light that leads them. You know, Romans 1:16-17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I need that renewal. The Word of God is, it leads me into more of the Word of God. I don't think it was happenstance that in my reading this morning that I was at Jeremiah 18, and when I started to read, I thought, man, that's what we're talking about. Does the potter have the right in my life to say what he does with me? Shall the clay say to the potter, do this or that? No, it doesn't. And every once in a while, I feel the pressure of God's hand upon me, thumb pressing in or the palm squeezing it. You know, there's an alteration taking place. And many of you can confess to this as well. Sometimes when the Lord's putting his finger on you, it's not comfortable. You know, I don't know what led your friend to make a decision to go to YWAM and now to Egypt. But I'm willing to bet that if he were here and were able to share his story, he would talk about that there were some discomforting moments. You know, I saw one thing several months ago. A person said, I'm tired of hearing the statement, when God closes a door, he opens a window. He says, that's not true. When God closes the door, he wants you to stay where you are. And then he'll reopen the door. I'm looking for a window to escape where I am. But when God closes the door, he wants John, wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord will, they will what? Renew their strength. When I flee out the window, I'm missing an appointment with God. That's huge. You know? Will the clay say to the potter, do this or that? No. It's interesting when you, and I continue reading on in Jeremiah. I think it was still in 18. I don't think I made it to 20 yet. I was running a little behind this morning, so I didn't do as much reading as I normally would. But he talks about a flask was taken and it was broken. And there's an issue there. You see, while the clay is still on the wheel, the potter can press it down and reform it. I'm to remain pliable before God. But what's the difference between clay on the wheel and a flask? It's gone through the furnace. It's hardened. It can't be remade. And it says it was broken. God broke Israel. And then he called it forth afresh in 1948. Part of the devotional I prepared for the Legion was Canada's number one ace in World War II was stationed at Malta for several months. In the last 4 months he was there, he'd lost 50 pounds because of the blockades to Malta. He got four slices of bread and a little bit of canned meat a day. And he's a fighter pilot. Malta was the most bombed country in the world at the end of World War II. It was only 300 and some square miles and had over 11,000 bombs dropped on it. And George Frederick Burling was one of the heroes of that engagement that defended Malta and kept it from falling into Axis hands. And that was the cornerstone, the key to controlling getting supplies to Rommel in North Africa and supplying troops to the Middle East to get oil for the war effort for the Axis powers. And he was a Canadian. With the RAF. The Royal Canadian Air Force wouldn't take him because he hadn't finished grade 12. He skipped school, and by the time he was 16, he'd earned his pilot's license. Yeah. But he wore out. We wear out. We need renewal. Notice the next point. Feeding contributes to renewal. He was shot down, lost his left heel, and when they were putting him on the rescue boat, he said, no, you can't take me. I need my Bible. You need my Bible. And they started searching the raft, and they found his Bible. He wouldn't fly with his Bible. He wouldn't go without his Bible. He was raised a Plymouth Brethren, and he believed in the return of the Lord. He understood that one of the signs of the return of the Lord would be the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. The flask was broken, but now God calls it forth a new one. And he died in Italy transporting fighter planes from the United States to Israel 10 days after they had earned their independence in 1948. And he's buried in Israel. I don't want to be broken and cast away. Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. I don't want to be discarded. Paul talks about some who had made shipwreck of their faith. May we never make shipwreck, but may we see the need for renewal. He was sent back to Canada because of his injury and because he was hugely undernourished. We need feeding to be renewed. John, you haven't had that much of a problem in the national? No. That was way too quick, folks. But we can't see the spiritual man. We can look at people and evaluate the physical man, but the spiritual man is a whole different story. 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. I keep saying to, you know, certain people that I have furniture disease. My chest fell into my drawers. You know, waste. I'm wasting away. Though our inner, outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Now, listen, that's a divine word. Is it a true word for me? Am I being renewed? Do you understand? God wants to renew me day by day. Am I permitting it? I have an involvement in this. The appropriation of outward elements is essential to sustenance and growth. That's from the pulpit commentary. Listen, I need outside things in the natural. I just can't breathe it in. There's things that I have to get right sleep, right nutrition. You know, my new watch keeps saying you need to drink water. You know, and I keep saying to my watch, I know water is essential for human life. Because without it, you can't make coffee. Am I daily feeding on the Word of God? That's part of renewal. Next. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of Christ. It's not about just having devotional time, but it's hearing an applicable word to you. God wants to keep rebuilding me, renewing me, reforming me. I don't want to become rigid that I am broken and cast away. Amen? Okay. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And you know that the Greek tense in there is be continuously being filled. That's His desire. I need to participate in that. Fourth one. Function exposes personal need. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When I looked at those tires, I was really negligent in this matter for my wife. I should have paid greater attention. If the snow hadn't come, we probably would have run for a while longer. But that would be putting her at risk. They wanted to know if I wanted to take the tires or if I wanted to replace them. I walked out with 4 empty bags. I said, replace them. I'm not going to put her at risk. When we labor for the Lord, in the Lord's name, it reveals our weaknesses. And when I am weak, then He is strong. My grace is sufficient for thee. Therefore, I will glory in my weaknesses and my infirmities. For when I am weak, then He is strong. As we labor for the Lord, we see what we need. And we can't acquire it ourselves. We need to call upon the name of the Lord. Spiritual atrophy of body waste, of body tissue or organ, wasting away, especially as a result of degeneration of cells. Without exercise, the muscles atrophy. As I labor, I find my weaknesses, and I call on God. And a renewing takes place. Are you tracking with me? So there's the fact of the new birth. I think, to my knowledge, most everybody in here has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Faith receives the mercy that God wants to give us. There's no shadow of turning in Him. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. He wants to minister to you. He wants to touch you. He wants his word to be spoken in your life. He wants the Holy Spirit to fill you. John, what are you doing? Feeding. I don't miss many meals. I just saw Jordy go out the door. He's not leaving upset. He's going to get the pizza. And everybody went, oh, he's back. Amen. You got the pizza? Pizza's here. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing the benediction and let's eat. No. Yeah. We don't miss that chance, do we? Let's not miss it in the spiritual. And as we labor, like those tires, we get worn down. God wants to do a work in us. Tim's got a picture. I think it got. Quote of the week, God is in control, but he doesn't expect you to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. God wants to renew you, but you got to do things. Amen? I couldn't think of a better conclusion, so I didn't even try. I went with that. Yeah. Some of you are thinking, guy must be a government employee. Yeah. Mark says, no, there'd be four others. Amen. Well, let's stand. We'll, Landon, you want to come and we'll do our closing hymn. And then I'm going to ask Mark to say the blessing on the food that Jordy brought in. It's turned on, so don't sing with it. Unless you can stay in key. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore.